Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelplineMA.org.
You can hear the podcast of Zolak and Bertrand on the podcast page of 98.5thesportshub.com. Here's Zoe and Beetle from Gillette Stadium, sponsored by the Massachusetts Pirates.
How's Chris doing, and what is his status in terms of the rest of the surgery?
So, you know, he's out of the hospital. He'll be here with us tomorrow. Everything is fine, so we'll see how he feels physically, and then after that, we'll decide what we're going
to
do.
Is what he the reason he was hospitalized have anything to do with baseball, or...?
It's just his stomach. That's it, you know. He felt ill right after the game, started throwing up, and then he decided to go to the hospital, and that was it, yeah. So,
was that related to anything he had been taking to pitch or anything like that?
No, not that I know.
You're on Zolak and Bertrand. That right there is Alex Cora talking about the injury to Chris Sale. Excuse me, sickness to Chris Sale. The injury. Did the medicine he's taking for the injury cause the sickness? Was the line of questioning. He said, no, not that I'm aware of.
What does Scoots Magoo know?
Not that I'm aware of.
What's Pete Abraham know? Man, that is as on top of jumping a question. Well, is it baseball?
It's the second question. Does that have anything to do with baseball? That's the part that I said, oh, wait, he knows something.
It's almost like he was setting him up for it.
And if
Chris Sale, that was a line of questioning. That wasn't a question. That was a line of questioning.
He went in there with those questions already known, and he wanted to do them in a specific order because he was trying to set him up.
And if Chris Sale,
what does he know?
And if this had nothing to do with taking meds or that, and if you ask Cora that, and if he truly had a stomach virus, and he was, you know, he went in for the flu or the stomach virus, the answer by Cora would have been, what the hell are you talking about? No, he had the stomach virus, so we sent him to Mass General. And Cora knows something, too. They both know something, and I think they're beating around it. But Pete was pretty direct. That was a good job by him.
Yes, it was.
You see what I'm saying?
I think he knows something.
So he answered it differently.
I think he knows something. That's what I think.
What are you getting at, Pete?
I think he's heard something.
Yeah.
Let me check Pete's Twitter. Pete, he didn't tweet anything about this today, did he?
Well, it's not necessarily him that maybe heard it. It, the Globe shares information, right?
Yes, they do.
So they have a team of reporters.
Yeah. And you know what? To your point on Pedro earlier.
We've had this medicine thing before. This happened in 2011, didn't it?
Pedro with the medicine comment, you know, just 2 weeks ago or a week ago. Right? Right before the playoffs started.
Yeah, Cora hasn't added. I'm sorry. Pete Abe has not added anything else. He tweeted yesterday when this was said. Asked Cora about Sale. Said he started throwing up after his last start and they decided to take him to MGH. That in and of itself to me is just like strange. Oh, you're puking, so we're going to run you to MGH?
Yeah, normally when you get a bug, and we've all had the bug, and it rips through our studio when guys get it, you usually don't rush yourself to the hospital.
Said it was not related to baseball or anything he took to pitch. Playing status unclear until he gets here.
That's the question. Does it have anything to do with – did it have anything to do with baseball? That's the question that got me is, wait, what?
Yeah, what? Huh? And then more specific on the next one. Did it have to do with anything he took to be able to pitch?
The core was right on board with it.
I got to be honest. The only reason I read it, Pete Dave's not someone who's trying to stir things. He's not trying to stir it up. He's not one of those guys. Right?
It's different. It was odd.
I think there's something that you should read into. Read in between those lines there. Not that I'm aware of. That's the way to say no without really giving a hard no.
Yeah.
And if it is related to it, I didn't know about it.
I don't know, Pete. You have to ask our medical people.
HIPAA. You know, yeah. Cite HIPAA.
HIPAA.
I can't talk about it. HIPAA. One of those deals.
Jesus.
So should we be concerned about Chris Sale? I think we should. I mean, I am. I'm concerned about him. He's even if none of that is true, right? that it's not some sort of Clay Buchholz type situation from 2012. If you don't remember what happened then,
he was Buchholz. Was taken, you know what I mean? Buchholz is not built big. It's waif, sort of like Sale.
Sort of like Chris Sale.
Yeah.
The skinny guy is
just not built up to it. I mean, it's a lot of dude.
Do you think Chris Sale's a guy who's had a problem keeping weight on in his life? He's one of those guys, isn't he? Like, can eat as much as he wants, and he won't gain any.
Bastard.
Baseball-wise, I feel better about it. Baseball-wise,
why?
If that's the case, if that were true, I feel better about it. Baseball-wise,
if it's something he took,
yes.
No, I'd feel worse because you know that
it's not a lingering sickness. It's not a lingering sickness that could last 4 or 5 days, and he's fatigue and all
four
that
or five
stuff.
Days. If you have something like what Buchholz dealt with, that's going to last more than 4 or 5 days.
That means you're taking that means your arm hurts.
It means your injury. I don't know that it means the injury is worse, but two, that recovery is more than letting something run through your system and get, you know, throwing and going, you know, to get that out of your system. So,
yeah.
No, I don't feel better if that's what it is. I feel worse. That could take more time. Like I said, Buchholz was out for weeks when that happened to him from Toradol back in 2012.
Sale's not Buchholz.
I know he's not. I know not. Injury.
He's not.
Remember when Buchholz went to the, what do you go, Foxwoods?
Yeah.
Where he went?
Greg Hill's tournament. He was drinking. Yeah.
Idiot.
Gambling and drinking. Day he got out of the hospital.
Anyway, you don't have to worry about Chris Sale doing that. I don't think. I don't think that's something
that's for charity. It's for charity.
So what? What's that have to do with anything? John in Boston on Chris Sale. Go ahead, John.
Hey, guys. I had a friend that used to pitch a couple years ago, and then he actually had the same problem, much older issue, and they give you medication that you take for about a month. So, if anything, he would have got sick, you know, 2 months ago when he started taking it. So, I don't know if you guys heard anything like that or anything around the bush, but I just want to know.
Well, I think it could be adding up over time. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
To tell you what, take 8 ibuprofen a day for a week. You may feel fine on days 1, 2, and 3. By day 8, you're probably going to feel something. It adds up.
Yeah, it does.
You know what I mean?
It sure does.
617-779-0985. There's that, and then there's also Alex Bregman trolling the Red Sox on Instagram yesterday. We'll get to that story coming up next. Brad Stevens, head coach of the Celtics at 12:50 today.
From Gillette Stadium, it's Zolak and Bertrand, sponsored by the Massachusetts Pirates on 98.5 The Sports Hub and online at 98.5thesportshub.com.
This ball's driven deep to left center field. George Springer all the way back and gone. Astros lead this game 2-1. Didn't fool him on that one. 0-2 pitch. Springer hits his team-leading 15th home run of the year.
And Bregman hits it high in the air and deep to left field. Smith is looking up. Kiss it goodbye. Into the Landry's Crawford boxes. Back-to-back jacks for the Astros. First Springer, now Bregman. 3-1 Astros.
Well, this game has certainly turned, and now that's the 31st consecutive game in which Bregman has reached base.
That ball's crushed! 3 in a row! Another one on the train tracks! For the second time.
That was June 20th, Nathan Eovaldi giving up back-to-back-to-back home runs in Houston. You know what the Crawford boxes are there, Zoe? You looked at me like, what? Where did he hit it? The Crawford boxes are the seats in left field above the wall in Houston, because that is the side of the stadium that is
315
parallel to Crawford Street.
Gotcha.
So they call them the Crawford boxes.
For people going down, for Boston fans, you're going to have a great time down there. It's a cool city, especially down there by that ballpark. Ballpark is awesome.
It's a great ballpark.
It's an awesome ballpark.
I don't think I'd ever say that. I mean, it's pretty much a dome.
We left.
They can open the roof there, but I don't know if they will.
When O'Shaughnessy's like floating in that lazy river, the shape of Texas.
Yeah. Then I go have lunch at Biggio's, Craig Biggio's.
Yeah, have lunch at Biggio's.
Average.
Average. Yeah, not great.
No, it's pretty good. Not Hall of Fame, but pretty good.
Pretty good, not great. Pretty good, not great.
You know that he met Craig Biggio at Biggio's, right?
Yeah, another one.
Of course
one.
He did.
Idiot.
Freaking guy. Forrest Gump.
Is he still trying to call in today? He still want to call in today?
No, we'll talk to Shaughnessy tomorrow.
We'll talk to you after a game, Dan.
Yeah. Shaughnessy wants to be on the show every day this week from Houston. He's down there in Houston, and I bet he is staying at the hotel with the lazy river on the roof.
That's now his spot in Houston. We'll talk to Dan tomorrow after the game is played tonight. Nathan Eovaldi will be on the mound tonight against Houston. The reason we play that highlight is not just because he got shelled by Houston on June 20th, but because Alex Bregman yesterday on Instagram tweeted a video of him rewatching those highlights from June in his little video work getting ready for the game.
He was looking on the phone. He filmed another phone, which is funny. Jim picked up on it. That was pretty good by Jim.
So yesterday there was not much of a response from Eovaldi or Alex Cora. Today we get a response. You ready for this?
Yeah.
From Steve Pierce speaking to Bradford. Wow. I don't know why he would do that. We do our talking on the field. If he wants to run his mouth now, we'll see who's talking at the end of the series.
Oh, God.
I don't think he needs to run his mouth. He's one of the best players in the game. If that's his personality, that's his personality.
Yeah.
Nothing against the guy. If that's how he has to motivate himself, whatever. Like it. There we go, Steve
back
Pierce.
Back and forth.
Steve Pierce. Steve Pierce, by the way, is elevating into one of those names where you're like, remember Doug Minkiewicz? Yeah, I remember Doug Minkiewicz.
Doug Minkiewicz.
Steve Pierce.
I love him, too. I wouldn't mess with him. He looks like a serial killer.
I love him. He's becoming quickly like...
He's got that snap gene
those,
in him.
Looks like it, yeah.
He's like one of those Brian Daubach, Kevin Millar...
Daubach's the perfect example.
Doug Minkiewicz type of players.
Daubach. Yes.
Like, he's one of those guys.
Badass.
One of those guys that you'll...
I'm going to stretch as far as I can every single play to first, even if it's not a close play.
Daubach had the
I'm
worst
just gonna stretch.
Body.
His stretch is
hardo.
Beautiful.
He's a hardo.
It's beautiful.
Love him.
Why is Benintendi wears pants up so high, too? Like, Daubach used to do that. Why is Benintendi's pants up to here all the time? He's got the little
he
shirt
has a
on.
A short torso.
Is that what that
he's
is?
He's got long legs, short torso.
Is that
yes.
what that is?
Yes.
I have the opposite. I have a long torso, short legs.
He's got a little.
I have really short
he's
legs.
He's got a little person in him, doesn't he?
He's probably really short.
He's
when
got
he sits
a little bit,
of
little person. The little twin tinge of the.
So he's got short torso, long legs, is what he's got. Because he moves pretty
look
well.
Look at him tonight. His
Benintendi
belt.
Runs well.
His belt is like right at the base of his number.
Is that right?
It's freaking weird, dude. I was going to text you guys the
yeah,
other
there's
night.
There's a bunch
and
of
you
baseball
know,
players that
you,
have that.
Do you know where it's more yeah. evident? These stupid red jerseys they wear. Because it cuts it off. When he's on all white, you can't really tell. But, man, like, the pants are pulled
I'm
up.
I'm looking at a picture right now. It doesn't look like
no,
they're pulled up that
you've
high.
You've got to look with the red jersey. The red jersey and white.
I'm looking at it with the red jersey.
That's a bad look at it there. Uh-uh. Jim, you know what I'm talking
no,
about.
No, you know what? You're right, though. It is. It just it makes you realize how short
it
his torso
be, his
is.
His hips should be, like, it should be, the belt should be down. Those
right,
branches.
It should be, like, right there.
Yeah. Because yeah. I think his red shirt's too small on him, too.
Like, is his belt at his belly button? Because I think it is. That's high. That is high. Damn.
Yeah.
Like, it's Zone notices the most absurd
it's the
things.
Red shirt. Why are they wearing these red shirts?
You know what? We have not discussed that yet. Why are they wearing them every single
That's
game?
That's their, like, summer Sunday shirt, right?
It's the Friday night
game
shirt.
Two.
Friday night shirt. I'm sorry.
It's the Friday shirt, right?
Or weekend shirt. Yeah. What'd you say, Tom?
I said they didn't in game two.
So you wore them in every game except game two. Odd.
Wait, they didn't wear them the other night?
No. No, Price was wearing the whites.
I didn't even notice.
I didn't watch.
They did game one,
I
though.
Didn't even notice that.
Game one Saturday. They
had the game one.
No, I know, but I watched the whole game. I didn't even notice that they didn't have the reds on. But when they do have them on, it's noticeable. It's annoying.
Yeah. It's just,
such a great home
cheap,
uniform.
It's the
Why
bright,
would you mess
the,
with
the
that?
Red Sox bright white uniform is one of the best uniforms in all of sports. That clean, nice white says
right.
Red Sox.
Why mess with
that? Weird red.
Kyle's
top.
In New Bedford. Nathan Eovaldi tonight on the mound. What do you think of that, Kyle?
Basically, I just think, you know, all the banter going on between Bregman and Eovaldi. I think it's just funny because as a Boston fan, you know, whether it be the Patriots, the Red Sox, there's always something. There's always another something that they're saying to try to put us, you know, behind the behind the pitch, so to say. But I think Eovaldi's going to pitch a good game tonight. Hopefully he does well. Hopefully he gets signed to a contract for us. He's been great for us so far, and I think Cora's right. You know, now's no better time to be a baseball fan. I think Houston, somebody being there last year, they should know more than anybody that maybe he's doing to try to get a rise out of us, but it didn't work, as you can see. And I hope
well,
that works.
Rise out of Steve Pierce. He doesn't seem to want to brush it off like the other guys did.
He well, that's good. I mean, we need somebody to, we need at least one guy to at least, you know, give it back. But I think, you know, we're going to do more during the game than, like you said, Steve's right. You know, he said, we do our talking while we play.
Yeah, I'm with you. I like what Steve Pierce said.
Baseball players talking crap. It's just so funny. I'm watching a video. Ooh, you talking crap. He's getting me pissed off watching videos of home runs. It's so silly. Yeah, give me something like Veritek and A-Rod. That's a back and forth. Yeah, somebody throwing at Euclid's head. Those are good ones. The Clemens going nuts. This stuff. Ooh, they're talking crap.
So to add to the Alex Bregman stuff, Peter Gammons has another bizarro Gammons tweet from last hour. You ready for this one?
I can't even
read this with a straight face.
Okay. For you people out there that have followed Peter Gammons, and for some reason Pete's going off the deep end here.
Is he okay?
I don't know, man.
I don't think he is.
Wait a minute. To be this descriptive and this poignant, to make a point, you have to be somewhat okay and coherent.
He's some sort of detached from reality, but here's the tweet. Red Sox players know Alex Bregman is like Dustin Pedroia, 1977. What does that mean?
He just made you stop right there. And he's doing this to make us talk about him, is what he's doing. I know you're out there down there, your little podcast at home, sitting there putting these tweets out, Peter.
I don't know that.
No, he's a covering series.
Well, for who?
He writes for,
Who's he work for?
He's still writing.
Okay.
Is he on like that same blog that Heyman writes for?
Van Rag Sports?
Something like
Heyman
that.
Heyman works for FanCred now.
FanCred.
Oh.
They bought FanRag. Yeah, they bought FanRag.
Okay.
Peter Gammons.
FanCred bought FanRag.
You can definitely get us. There's Gammons.
Well, whatever, but let's get to the point.
The Athletic. He's writing stuff for The Athletic.
Really?
Yes. Yes. Huh. He's still writing stuff. I can't say it.
You got to read that. You got to read the rest of the tweet, though.
He's starting to lose it.
Let me get to the rest of this.
Yeah.
It says
From the top.
Red Sox players know Alex Bregman is like Dustin Pedroia, okay. comma, 1977. What does that mean?
Doesn't matter. Plow through. Plow through.
Maybe it's when he was born.
No, Pedroia was born in 83.
Okay.
Born 67. Okay.
So much for that theory.
Move on.
They die to play with him. Period.
Okay.
They die to play with him?
They die to play with him.
Red Sox
players know Alex Bregman's like
dying okay. to play
like
with
like Marchand.
Bregman.
You hate him, but you would
okay.
die to play
okay.
with him.
He's one of ours, right?
Yeah.
He's a gritty little prick, right. you know, but he's our little prick.
It says, but some Boston media get upset with him, and that is about Bregman.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Are they upset that his great-grandfather, a courageous immigrant, was part of the group that bought the Boston Redskins and moved to Washington?
Yes, that's why everyone is upset.
That's why they hate him, Pete.
What does this even? I don't even know.
The
okay,
response,
so apparently...
the replies to this tweet are hysterical. By the way, one of them, one of them said he's become a kook, and Chris Henderson writes back.
That's become a loopy.
That's putting it mildly.
He says, "Mark, it's just so obvious. Boston media hates the Bregman's great grandfather, an immigrant, moved the Redskins out of Boston, like." What don't you get?
Immigrants.
It's obvious.
What's he mean? Those damn immigrants.
I don't.
Is he trying to make?
God, he put Redskin in there too.
What does this mean?
Dustin Pedroia was -6 years old in 1977, and that's somehow the third most confusing portion of this tweet.
This guy to say he's a kook is again mild. That's mild.
There's some wacky tweets from last week, too, that we read, but we really didn't really spend time touching on it. We wanted to get in with Shaughnessy. Damn it.
I mean, he tries to blend sports and politics like nobody else I've ever seen. He just throws it all in there.
Yeah, I wouldn't do that if I was him.
Alex.
Someone else replied.
One more time.
I see what you did. Someone said, I see what you did there, Peter. 1987, but most cows don't produce milk because oil prices are unpredictable in this current climate.
Red Sox players know Alex Bregman is like Dustin Pedroia, 1977. They die to play with him, but some Boston media get upset with him.
Yes.
Are they upset that his great grandfather
You can't even read it.
His great grandfather, a courageous immigrant,
yes.
as opposed to a
yes.
was pardoned.
As opposed to an intimidated
Are they upset that his great-grandfather, a cowardly immigrant... Courageous immigrant, comma. Yeah.
Cocky immigrant.
Was part of the group that bought the Boston Redskins and moved to Washington.
A cocky what? Immigrant.
What?
Do you know, first
Loopy
of all...
Loon. Loopy Loon. Loopy Loon. I mean... Buckle up, baby.
No, Nolan replied on Twitter, "Sir, this is a McDonald's." Someone else just went, "Damn good point, Beat."
Oh, damn good point. Who wrote that?
Oh my God! Damn good point. Beat was know. Arthur.
Oh my
the
God!
The last season, the Redskins were in Boston.
Are they doing acid in the lodge?
I'm sorry. No. Hold on. Do you know the last year that the Redskins were in Boston?
No, I don't.
1936.
His great-grandfather, a courageous Depression-era immigrant.
Giuseppe.
What?
1936 was when they left.
Oh my God.
I'm pretty sure no one has that at the top of mind.
Oh, those brave immigrants.
That Bregman, did you know his great-grandfather moved the Redskins out of Boston? I hate this guy.
Oh, my God.
What?
I don't even know if we should be I'm starting to feel like the way we felt when we were laughing at the guys who had the Red Sox banner. Like, I don't know if this is funny anymore.
It's worth it.
He's gone.
His faculties have
have
left him. Okay, headlines with Hardy.
Sir, this is a McDonald's.
Brad Stevens at 20 minutes.
Do you want to order or not? You know!
Hardy has our headlines. We're back. Brad Stevens will be with us at 12:50.
Sports Hub headlines.
Red Sox and Astros are going to play Game 3 of the ALCS tonight in Houston. Dallas Keuchel will get the start. Sox counter with Nathan Eovaldi. It's an early one. Just after 5 o'clock, they'll get underway. Series tied at one game each. Brewers and Dodgers have the late game tonight with Milwaukee up 2-1 in that series after they got the 4-0 win in Los Angeles last night. Celtics open up the NBA regular season this evening. They're home to take on the Sixers. Sean Grandy, Cedric Maxwell, they've got the call right here on your flagship station for the Boston Celtics. 98.5 the Sports Hub. Pregame at 7:00. Tip-off 8 o'clock. Monday Night Football last night. Packers beat the visiting San Francisco 49ers 33-30. Headlines are brought to you by Hooters, where the food is hot, the beer is cold, and the game is on. Saug instead on West Springfield and on Route 9 in Shrewsbury. Hooters makes you happy. I'm Hardy on Boston's home for sports. 98.5 the Sports Hub. Get your hub headlines anytime in your flash briefing on your Alexa voice-activated speaker or right here in 30 minutes.
Scott Zolak, Mark Bertrand, 98.5 The Sports Hub. You can hear the podcast of Zolak and Bertrand on the podcast page of 98.5thesportshub.com. Here's Owen Beadle from Gillette Stadium, sponsored by the Massachusetts Pirates. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Zolak and Bertrand, it's 12:40. Brad Stevens coming up in 10 minutes right here on the show.
We come to you live from the ice cave.
Oh, man, is it cold down here today?
You can hang
I'll tell you, every time we go on the road now, we're somewhere cold.
Oh, my God, you can hang meat in here. It might be as cold here as it now. Warrior was colder.
Got to remember to bundle up for next week as it gets colder into these cold months. A couple of things. First, do we want to do a practice question for you, for Brad?
Sure. Yeah.
Hardy, you there? Maybe Hardy wants to...
Yes, I am here.
Should we do a practice question? What do you think?
Oh, sure.
Okay.
All right, you ready?
Celtics opening up their seasons. Head coach of the Celtics, Brad Stevens, joins us right now on Zolak and Bertrand. Hey, Coach.
Hey, Coach. How you doing? It's been a really good couple of days of sports viewing here in Boston. How excited are you that the Red Sox game is 5 o'clock start?
No. You're gonna do this or you're not. Well, try it again. Re-rack.
Shut up.
Time now to welcome in the head coach of the Boston Celtics, Brad Stevens. Coach, how are you?
Good, Coach, guys. How you been doing?
Good, guys. How are you?
Just sitting here, kind of getting back in the swing of things. You had a big football game the other night. How excited are you for your for the game tonight? How excited are you for the t-shirts that were laid out on the seats?
Now you're being a jerk.
617 boss on the other side. Stop.
Are you going to take this seriously or not?
No, I'm not going to. You guys are being jackasses.
Come on, we're going to
What's your first question?
What's your first question?
It's going to be about pressure going into this year and how much different it is this year than other years. Like, money's on the line this year. A lot of your teammates are saying that the championship goes through the East.
Teammates?
Yeah. Damn it.
Players.
Good, guys. How are you?
Saying that the championship goes through Boston and the East. That the East goes through Boston.
Which players?
Is that a question?
Jaylen Brown. Jaylen Brown's been running his mouth, Coach. How excited are you about that? No, I got a good question.
Okay. 8 minutes away, Brad Stevens.
God, I got to start thinking about this now.
In other news, the individual who was in the end zone.
Yeah.
Here on Sunday night has been identified and will face charges for throwing a beer at Tyreek Hill. Your thoughts on that?
I mean, you shouldn't throw beer on people. I understand why they disinvited him to future events here. I don't think you should ruin the guy's life. We're all young. We did stupid things when you're drunk and you're drinking all day, but it's done on team property. And that's a nice space that they created for season ticket holders. They have the ability to also go down there and enjoy themselves at field level. You can't do that to players. Now, Tyreek Hill and his agent, Drew Rosenhaus, are going to pursue this even further with the league and the NFLPA. And now he's got a stick up as, you know what, if I'm Tyreek Hill,
yeah,
I'd sort of deal with getting beer spilled on you real quick. I mean, it's happened to us in Buffalo. When we would come down, that's why they put the tarp where the visiting team comes out for the Buffalo Bills away for our away games when you play up in Orchard Park, because the fans there would dump beer on players.
Here's what
Tyreek Hill should worry about is they don't, you know what I mean? When you start accusing people of things and you go after people for stuff, what are they going to do? They're going to in turn look into your past.
Well,
we haven't talked much about.
We know about his past.
Oh, yeah. And now it's starting to revisit itself.
Well, I think it's always there with Tyreek Hill.
Yeah, but, I mean, I was talking about Tyreek Hill, the speedy receiver the other night, not the guy that choked his pregnant girlfriend or, did what he did to her and punched her where he punched her. I mean, we don't need – does he want people to revisit that? So you got a beer dumped on you. Take a shower, move on. Go to your next game.
He was arrested for and charged with and pleaded guilty to domestic abuse by strangulation in December of 2014. He struck and choked his girlfriend, who was at the time 2 months pregnant with his child. That's what happened. He pled guilty in 2015. He received a 3-year suspended sentence. He did not receive jail time as part of his plea deal. So that's what happened to him in 2014, something he has spoken about before. Yeah. Here's what Schefter reported yesterday. Tyreek Hill and Drew Rosenhaus want to take action against the fan that doused the Chiefs wide receiver with beer on Sunday. They are talking to the NFL and NFLPA about options. Quote, "That type of behavior is unacceptable," Rosenhaus said. "Players have to be protected. We want that fan to be prosecuted." That's what they said.
Okay.
I don't think the kid's life is going to get ruined by it, but
it's been late,
I understand why an agent feels this way about players. Like, players in this league shouldn't have to deal with a fan dumping beer on them.
I agree with that.
That shouldn't be allowed ever, you know? And just because of his past, Tyreek Hill's past, doesn't mean that it's something that could impact every player that's on the field. I told you, though, I don't know if I told you or Jim Murray. I think I told Jim Murray post-game Sunday night. I said,
what did I tell you yesterday?
I said, if they find out who this is, his defense will be that Tyreek Hill's a dirtbag, and that's why he did it, to try and make himself look
bad. He probably doesn't even know about his background.
Instead of just doing something stupid. Right.
I think he just did something stupid, and he's going to regret that.
We'll talk to Brad Stevens, head coach of the Celtics. Zoe, get your question ready. We're talking to him next.
Zoe and the Beatles. 98.5 The Sports Hub. Zoe and Beatle at Gillette Stadium, sponsored by the Massachusetts Pirates on 98.5 The Sports Hub and online at 98.5thesportshub.com.
Celtics regular season gets underway tonight as the Celtics take on the Philadelphia 76ers. 8 o'clock start. Right here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Let's welcome in the head coach of the Celtics, Brad Stevens, joins us. Hi, Brad.
Hey, guys. What's going
on? Hey, coach. How you doing, buddy? You're on the line on time already. Game day. Get ready for this one tonight. First question I want to ask you was about just the preparation going into this year. Do you feel a different sense of, I don't want to say stress, but from an expectation standpoint, yeah, your team's pretty good, and there's some changes, you know, around the East, and some of your players have talked about that the East now goes through Boston. Do you feel some of that pressure?
No. No, I think one of the things that you always try to do, and I mean, you've been around it, Scott. I mean, you always just try to stay in the moment, and whether your team is in the building phases or whether your team has high expectations from an outsider's perspective, you still just work on today, and you try to be as good as you can be today and try to continuously get better. I mean, the bottom line is that you're good if you play good. And, you know, we talk about that all the time. It's not about what you did yesterday. It's not about what people predict you'll do a year from now. It's what you do in this moment. And, you know, the thing that I would say that, you know, from an expectations point of view above that would be that I think it's also a little bit unique when you're there and have those outside thoughts because of the guys in the room and what they were able to do to, you know, generate that opinion of themselves. And so I'm excited for them that we have so many guys back that we get a chance to play with that. I think that that's fun. I think that that's why you do what you do and why you try to build on, you know, past things that went well and learn from things that didn't and see if you can't be a little bit better.
Coach, what's the starting lineup tonight? What's it look like?
I don't know. We're going to start five guys, and I know them. But because I didn't tell our beat writers that are there every single day,
okay,
I feel like if I let the cat out of the bag, I will say this: I don't think it's brain surgery, but
right.
I'll do that before the game.
All right. How about the minutes limits that are going to be on Hayward coming back off the injury? What's that going to look like, and what are those limits?
So you're probably looking at around 25 minutes for the first few weeks. And the reason being is because he hasn't played the NBA schedule. I mean, we go straight from playing tonight. We play Friday, Saturday, play again Monday. I mean, you've got all of a sudden, bang, it hits you. And the schedule is something that your body has to get used to again. There's nobody on our team that would play 38 or 40 minutes a night at this time of the year anyways, because I think it hits everybody, and that's when our depth has to become a great factor for us. But Hayward especially not playing for the last 13 months or whatever it is, 12 months, and getting back into the groove of things. We already saw early on in camp when after two-a-days, after the early exhibition games, he had a small issue with his back and feels great now, but it's not always the injury that affects that. It's every other part of your body getting reused to playing again.
You're talking about chemistry and playing together too. And I don't know if it was after the second preseason game, but you know, we're replaying your press conference and you seemed pretty upset with the way things were going.
It was the Cavs one. Not getting
to the rim and more so crediting some of the other guys that came in late because, hey, there's a sense of urgency there. Do you feel when you have this much talent and, you know, and I know chemistry is going to be an issue, and especially juggling minutes with Gordon, that you really got to stay on top of things here with this crew and not let it run its course, well, so to speak.
One of the things is they all bring different things to the table. And because of our situation last year where Gordon and Kyrie were out, everybody was asked to do a little bit more, most of which people did really, really well. And some of the things which they got better at as the season went on, but had to do for us anyways because that was the situation we were in. I think at the end of the day, one of the things that can happen in this situation is that guys really try to make a conscious effort to get others involved, and they really talk about it, and they get too consumed with that. There's a right play to be made on every possession, and we just have to focus on that. We have to play the game the right way. If somebody doesn't have a touch for a couple of possessions, then we'll organize it so that that happens organically. But I think at the end of the day, we can't get so caught up in all of those little individual things that can hurt the chemistry of a group that is otherwise very, very versatile. And we just have to play, and we have to play the right way. I've been really encouraged in the last week. I don't think
I did a great job organizing us early on, and I wanted to see us learn how to play together on both ends. I was disappointed with what I saw in the preseason. The practice has been great from the standpoint of getting us all on one page with a bunch of different lineups in the game.
Coach, I know that last week you had mentioned that Brock Holt had been sort of an example that you had used talking to your own players about doing what's in the best interest of the team. How exactly did you do that? What was that all about?
Well, I think you're always looking for articles, quotes, things that happen, especially as you get into playoff time on championship teams. And, there's a reason everybody copies the Patriots and talks about the Patriots all the time, because they've won so much and because they've done it in a way with such a unbelievable consistency and unbelievable commitment to one another. And you see that, the Red Sox have had great success the last few years, and you can see in that Yankees series, it goes back 1-1, and they make the change to the lineup, and Brock Holt goes nuts in game three. And then because of a new pitcher, Alex decides that he's not going to play in game four. First of all, that takes a tremendous amount of trust from everybody involved, and trust by Alex that they've figured out kind of what's best for their team in that moment. They're going to stand by and do the right thing regardless of circumstance, and trust by the players, both the guys that were sitting out and Brock Holt that was playing, that will say, hey, I'm in it for the good of the cause. And it's awesome when it plays out like that, because it's a great example for all of us that at the end of the day, we're here for one reason. The main thing is winning, and those guys showed that. And I'm glad they're going back to Houston 1-1. I was at the game on Saturday night, and I sure hope they get tonight.
All right, my last one for you, Coach. You mentioned the Patriots. You mentioned about being around winners, and you have a great relationship with Coach Belichick here, but Julian Edelman worked out at your facility. And did we even talk to you about this facility? Is there anything that could be improved with the facility? But what was it like having Edelman around your players? I guess he developed a pretty good rapport with Gordon Hayward.
Yeah, he was around, a lot of guys. And I spent some mornings with him eating breakfast together. He's an incredibly hard worker, tough, thoughtful. Is thinking about the big picture of the game. It was interesting for me to get a chance to kind of rehash the games afterwards, because I don't know anything about football. I'm friends with those guys, and at the end of the day, I've learned a lot from Bill and Josh and everybody over there about how to manage and lead and organize and those type of things. But as far as running a slant route or a go route, I have no idea, when to do what. But it was really interesting to get his take. He's you can tell when he came back on the field, there was a little jolt to the team. Yeah. And you could tell there was a jolt to Brady. And I think that all that familiarity over time, and when you add a player of his caliber and his seriousness, I think that really helps your team.
Well, Coach, we're all excited for the start of the regular season for your team, and we're looking forward to talking to you each and every week this season.
How was my football analysis?
Excellent.
Pretty good.
Excellent. And we wouldn't mind a visit to the new facility, because we were down at Warrior Ice Rink last week.
Yes.
And the Bruins invited us down, and we kind of looked at that building next door. We didn't get the official invite yet over there. And I've hung out with Wick at a couple events, but he says come down.
You guys can come over whenever you want. It's a great facility.
There it is.
It's totally incredible what they put together for us.
I'd love to see it.
We have our invite now, so we had to ask for it, but we got one.
Yeah. Hey, get off to a great start, man. Good luck. Stay healthy.
All right, guys. Take care.
All right. See you, Coach.
Brad Stevens with us here on Zolak and Bertrand. Wouldn't give us that starting lineup. Wouldn't do that to the beat guys. The beat guys are all like,
I don't blame us.
Yes, Brad Stevens. Thank you. You'll get it tonight.
B-Rob.
B-Rob's like,
he's not
yes.
paper bag.
Yes, good job, Brad.
Should I eat my apple or banana first? A little half sandwich.
Celtics get going tonight. Right here on the Sports Hub. 617-779-0985 is the phone number. We have 90 seconds with Hardy. Just get you the headlines, and we're right back here at Gillette.